Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning. Welcome to the Vince Coakley radio program. How are you today? Hope all is well in your world. Hope you had a great weekend. Had an opportunity to unwind, relax, unplug. And now we're right back into it. Isn't it interesting, too, how we find ourselves today in terms of, you know, what were you thinking at the end of the week when we had these stories about an impending attack from Iran on Israel, the concerns about a wider escalation that might take just all out war. And here we are. It's Monday morning and we're still alive. The world has not blown up. In fact, what I thought was intriguing this morning as I was preparing, finalizing preparation for this broadcast, I just thought it was intriguing where if you look at the aggregate news services, as in Breitbart, Drudge, you have to look far to find any references to this conflict between Iran and Israel. It's just interesting to me that it's nothing like what was expected or feared, at least so far. Don't want to get ahead of myself here. We will talk about this a little bit later on. And the miraculous things that took place to keep this from being so destructive. The numbers are absolutely staggering. We'll go into this and talk about what Israel is going to do in return, their deliberations on how to proceed, and you know what the world has communicated to them, including the United States of America. The reasons for that we can have a discussion on as well. You probably also know this is a big day for Donald Trump. A criminal trial getting underway. Jury selection starts today. Donald Trump, just a few minutes ago, has shown up. And he is making his appearance at the courthouse in Manhattan. So we will find out how this process unfolds. This is going to be a very challenging task. Very challenging task to find jurors who can actually be fair. Are there any such people on the planet? We'll talk about what's at stake in this particular trial. I mentioned last week that a good friend of mine, Steve Dace, had a post on X, which was just right on the money. He so many times communicates what's on my heart. I'm going to share what he posted because it's pretty lengthy. And I'll be eager to get your thoughts on how this whole situation is unfolding in setting up for the election here in 2024. That is coming up a little bit later on. Also, we'll talk about one of the, I guess you can say, nightmare scenarios that has been characterized by the FBI director to try to get FISA, a reauthorization of FISA passed. By the way, in case you didn't know, that did ultimately pass. And you will hear one of the warnings that he actually offered to try to get Congress to follow through on this. Over the weekend, as you know, a very solemn event on Saturday, as we gathered to honor and say goodbye to Janie Thompson, the daughter of Bo Thompson, our very own Bo Thompson, to stand in support for that family. I want to encourage you to continue to pray for them. This, as you know, is a long journey. It's a very long journey. It was good to see Bo on Saturday and to just to be able to offer any words of encouragement and support, and to see so many people who came out in support of the family. One of the things that just part of my life and the things that I take in that have ministered to me a great deal through music, especially, I'm trying to remember the day. I guess it was yesterday. There was a song that came to mind that really spoke to me, and I thought, wow, this is something I really want to share with Bo. I think it'll be a real blessing during this time. I sent this song to him, and I'm going to share this coming up in the next hour. I think it'll be a tremendous blessing to you, no matter what's going on in your life. Perhaps you're at a place where you're dealing with tragedy, maybe the loss of someone special, or just going through an all-around challenging time. There's a song that's just ministered to me so much. We're going to share that with you coming up in the next hour. Also, I guess you can call this a Monday meditation. Dave Perkins put a really good post up over the weekend. You know, one of the things I love to do is to watch narratives get blown up. You know, people like to, especially mainstream news media, like to portray whole groups of people a certain way. And it's frustrating because so many people buy into this nonsense and they go right along and they promote whatever narrative is popular. One of them is that rich people are awful and they're all selfish and they want to take your stuff and they want to leave you with nothing. I'll just tell you the Monday meditation I'm going to share with you goes totally against the narrative that you may have thought about some particular people. And I'll just give you a hint. It's about the Titanic. We're going to share that coming up in hour number two as well. Let me just very quickly tell you about something really good that's happened in the past few days. You have shown up to make a difference in the lives of some four-legged friends. My good friend Melissa Nicely over at Animal Control, I sent her a message. It's like, hey, how did things go? And they did succeed in finding homes, either permanent or temporary, for all the dogs that needed to be moved out for construction and animal care and control. Here's the message she put out, incredibly, with the help of all of you. All but six dogs had left the shelter and were sleeping in homes by Thursday night. What an amazing day. The days have been busy. But I saw the biggest line I've seen us have in a very long time. This was a post from the day before the deadline when they had six dogs left, but they have now found homes for all of them. Thank you. From the bottom of our hearts, Animal Care Control faced a critical situation trying to house these 29 dogs before Friday deadline, and they have succeeded. So this is a message of thanks to you for coming through, making a difference, and it's an encouragement that when people hear appeals like this, they do respond.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, if you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number is 704-570-1110. What a difference just a few days will make. Think back to the end of the week. There was all this media hype and concern. We were right on the precipice of world war, potentially. I'm not at all diminishing the reality of what could have happened. And frankly, it's safe to say that it still could happen. But so far, we are quite thrilled to see that the defensive mechanisms that were in place have done an extraordinary job. Associated Press reports Israel says Iran launched more than 300 drones and missiles, 99% of them intercepted. This is absolutely awesome. Booms and air raid sirens sounded across Israel early Sunday after Iran launched hundreds of drones, ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, in an unprecedented revenge mission that pushed the Middle East closer to a region-wide war. A military spokesman said the launches numbered more than 300, but 99% of them were intercepted. I don't know about you, when I woke up Sunday morning and I saw these headlines, I thought, okay, this could be pretty ugly. Because they knew these things were on the way to Israel. Now, I knew about Iron Dome and all of that, but are they going to get 100% of these? Or even close? Aren't some of these things, these weapons of war, will not some of these actually reach targets and cause death and destruction? Rear Admiral Daniel Haggari calling the outcome a very significant strategic success. He's saying Iran fired 170 drones, 30 cruise missiles, 120 ballistic missiles. Of those, several ballistic missiles reached Israeli territory, causing minor damage to an airbase. A 7-year-old girl in a Bedouin Arab town seriously wounded in southern Israel, apparently in a missile strike. Police are still investigating the circumstances of her injuries. In Washington, President Joe Biden said U.S. forces helped Israel down nearly all the drones and missiles and pledged to convene allies to develop a unified response. Condemnation from the United Nations chief and others was swift, with France saying Iran is risking a potential military escalation. Britain calling the attack reckless. Germany saying Iran and its proxies must stop it immediately. I'm sure they're sitting down thinking, oh, they told us to stop. I guess we better stop. Haggari said the vast majority of the intercepts came outside of Israel's borders, including 10 cruise missiles that were intercepted by warplanes. This is just cool stuff, technologically speaking. A wide-scale attack by Iran is a major escalation. Asked whether Israel would respond, Haggari said, the army does and will do whatever is required to protect the security of the state of Israel, saying the incident was not over and dozens of Israeli warplanes remained in the skies. Israel's military said its Arrow system, which shoots down ballistic missiles outside the atmosphere, handled most interceptions and noted strategic partners were involved. Biden saying, at my direction to support the defense of Israel, the U.S. military moved aircraft and ballistic missile defense destroyers to the region over the course of the past week. Thanks to these deployments and the extraordinary skill of our service members, we helped Israel take down nearly all of the incoming drones and missiles. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said in a separate statement, U.S. forces intercepted dozens of missiles and UAVs en route to Israel, launched from Iran, Iraq, Syria, and Yemen. This is coming, they're coming from all directions. Biden, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke early Sunday. Biden said in a statement he reaffirmed America's ironclad commitment to Israel's security, a departure from his growing criticism of Israel's conduct in its war on Hamas in Gaza. As you know, part of those communications, making it clear that Biden believes Israel should not do anything in retaliation. What do you think about that? Is that realistic? Is it wise? Is this a situation where the main goal is to avoid escalation? And there's no need to do anything back. What are your thoughts? Speaking of such, we'll tell you what Israel is doing, their war cabinet convening. What are they talking about, and what are the possibilities here? And we'll go into Donald Trump, his hush money trial getting underway in New York with jury selection. So, do you agree with what President Joe Biden has said to Benjamin Netanyahu? Don't retaliate. Just leave it alone. Is this the proper response? The other thing you have to wonder about, is this really the end? I mean, I think everybody knows that, you know, whether it's a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year, this conflict is not going away. Drudge headlines on this: world holds breath. Israel vows revenge. USA warns. Iran sets new equation with attack. Race to avert full-blown conflict. Prelude to World War III. And here's a very good question. Could the strike be a decoy? This is not the real thing. They've got something else planned. How fragile Mideast alliance repelled onslaught, which we've already talked about. I'm very thankful. I mean, there's nothing like a good defense. I mean, it's pretty extraordinary that the potential here for a lot of death and destruction was certainly there. And it's absolutely cool that that's been averted. But even though that's the case, is it the appropriate response to do nothing? If this happened to the United States of America, would we do nothing? I'm just curious. Israel weighing its next steps. An official Israeli person telling NBC News the country will respond, but that no final decision has been made on the scale or timing of the response. The war cabinet convening today after meeting for hours last night. The two countries clashed at an emergency meeting of the United Nations Security Council. Tehran insisting it does not seek further escalation after launching the barrage of 300 drones and missiles, but warning of more decisive strikes in retaliation to any Israeli counterattack. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said it was time to step back from the brink as a chorus of world leaders urged restraint. President Joe Biden has warned Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu against launching new strikes on Iran and said the U.S. would not participate in any offensive actions against Iran, but has privately said he fears Netanyahu is trying to drag the U.S. into a wider conflict. Goodness. Drag the U.S. into a further conflict. Yeah. So, we will see what unfolds here. And how long it takes before there is some sort of response out of Israel. To New York City, where the focus of attention is on Donald Trump's criminal trial over hush money. Becoming the first U.S. president to undergo criminal trial over charges of falsifying business records to hide his affair with Stormy Daniels. wearing a blue suit and red tie. Trump waved to a collection of news cameras posted across the street before ducking into a Secret Service vehicle. And the protesters are out there as well. One has a sign that reads, Trump criminal trial, that appears spray-painted on bedsheet-like fabric. Oh, my goodness. Some media outlets hired professional line sitters to wait for them. You imagine all the people who just want to go in to watch. I'm sure they're out there, in addition to all the journalists who are out there. Stormy Daniels, her real name, Stephanie Clifford, adult film star, who says she met Trump back in 2006 at a celebrity golf tournament. At the time, she was 27. Trump was 60. She says she took $130,000 from Trump's lawyers to keep quiet about their affair because, as she told 60 Minutes, the story was coming out again. I was concerned for my family and their safety. There are other players in this that you will probably hear about during the course of this trial. There's Karen McDougal, a former Playboy model, who claimed to have had an affair with Trump. She was paid $150,000 by the National Enquirer, which bought her story in order to not publish it. This is called catch and kill. And allegedly, those payments also came from Trump. Michael Cohen, the lawyer and former Trump loyalist, I think this was his fixer, the one who facilitated the payments. Trump is accused of working with Cohen and Trump Organization officials to conceal the purpose of those payments on business records. In 2018, Cohen pled guilty to a range of federal crimes, including campaign finance charges, and said he made the payments in the direction of Trump. He served a three-year prison sentence, also disbarred in 2019 after pleading guilty to lying to Congress. David Pecker, the CEO of American Media, Inc., publisher of the National Enquirer, as well as the Playboy model's story, AMI paid $30,000 to a former doorman at Trump Tower who was trying to sell a story that Trump had fathered a child out of wedlock. What a circus. Alan Weisselberg, the former CFO of the Trump Organization, who worked for the company more than 50 years, he's already been sentenced to prison twice. So far, refused to turn on Trump, played a key role in concealing the purpose of Trump's repayments to Cohen, according to the indictment. Some of the court players, also Juan Merchan, the judge, born in Colombia, grew up in New York City. He's moved the case along rather quickly, recently expanded a gag order against Trump after the former president repeatedly attacked his daughter, who's worked for various Democratic political candidates. The DA who brought the case against Trump, Alvin Bragg, elected 2021 to be the top prosecutor in Manhattan, initially slow-walked a criminal investigation into Trump's financial assets, prompting prosecutors to resign, then surprised everyone by moving forward with a hush money case instead. Trump's lawyers, Todd Blanche, well-respected former prosecutor who left his job at a white-collar firm to represent Trump, this will only be his second trial as a defense lawyer. So there you go. Kind of sets the table for what is ahead as we move into jury selection. Coming up, some observations from one of my favorite people, Steve Dace. I want to get your thoughts on what is shaping up here for 2020 and the election that is just months away.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
So many eyes focused on New York City, the scene for this hush money trial, criminal trial, where Donald Trump is once again in the spotlight. One person who really captures my perspective so many times is Steve Dace. He had a post last week, which as soon as I saw it, I thought, you know, I need to share this. There was a lot going on last week, but I'm very eager to share this today. And I want to get your thoughts, whether you agree or disagree. Again, Steve Dace, let me be real personal and transparent for a few minutes, as brutally honest as I can be given what's gone on. Oh, the life issue and my ongoing, I hope, righteous indignation over it. The two most common responses I've received to what I'm posting and saying right now has been, you're helping the Democrats win, but you're still voting for Trump. These two responses are actually the same stimuli, just different reactions. Neither is looking at the broader picture, but just screaming, Cheeto Jesus saves, and Orange Man bad, back and forth. Meanwhile, we've got problems, existential ones. This isn't about Trump. Sure, both he and our enemies want it to be at times, at all times. But this is about us, or at least should be. Which is what I want it to be about. We cannot sustain another 4 years of what is quantified in the chart I'm sharing below. He showed figures about what is taking place financially in our country. There's still enough pent-up wealth in the country that many of the decisive suburbs still aren't feeling it now. But another 4 years of these trend lines or worse, it will be absolutely felt in ways this generation hasn't before contemplated. It's not counting other existential issues like weaponizing the DOJ to prosecute and imprison people for praying or protesting, leaving the border open for invasion, etc. Here's where the personal part comes in. Early last year, I was invited to be on someone's show. The discussion we had there may have produced the most viral moments of my career thus far. My wife went with me and was enamored with the setup they have there and hoped one day we could have something similar for my show. Well, last year, our efforts were really blessed. Thank you to all of you and the Lord. Last year, he talks about how much money they made from the show, book royalties, speaking, political consulting, his wife's therapy work, by far our most successful year yet. We were living paycheck to paycheck as recently as 2018. My lease is up next year in our current studio space, so we thought maybe we're making enough money now to do what Tim Pool does. This month, we went shopping for a house. That could be what we want. Keep in mind, we've been in our current home 18 years. It's now worth more than double what we paid for it then. So we theoretically have a nice nest egg there for down payment on a new home. But between how hard it is to find buyers for our current home and current interest rates, which make new mortgages literally 100% more than they were before Biden came into office, we simply could not make the math work. By the way, I guess I should tell you, he's talking about $400,000 a year. That's how much he and his wife made last year. You can't cash in on your own equity without a buyer. Then we were looking at mortgage payments above $5,000 a month on the other end. In other words, while earning in the top 5% of Americans, we were at best going to be house poor, but in a nicer house. So given our current situation, if we can't make it work, how does the average American make it so? What about the young family that is now where we were 20 years ago, looking for that starter house to embark upon the American dream? Like my daughter and her husband, most days I cannot personally tolerate Trump's unrestrained narcissism, dishonesty, etc. I'm never going to be invited into his inner sanctum. And frankly, given what I've heard about what goes on there, I don't want to be. I wanted a provably better man and a much more capable leader to be our champion. I sacrificed quite a bit professionally to make it so. I lost. The people have spoken. I wish we weren't playing the geriatric Olympics and taking one more okay boomer trip around the mountain, but it is what it is. I love this geriatric Olympics. If you don't want to support Trump, it's not like he's not giving you real reasons. I've read many of those myself, as in the notes from people still suffering from his unrepentant lockdowns and poison poke. I might be the only person on earth who's had a hand in writing two best-selling books about those cosmic failures. I honestly don't know what to do. I'm as confused and scared as everyone else, which is also why I'm turning more and more into theology on the show. I'm actively trying to put more of my trust in the Lord where it should have been all along. Oh my gosh. Sounds like some of the processes I've worked through in the past few years. But he does give us the freedom to make choices. As to this one, I'm not confident about putting Trump back in there after he blinked and puckered when we needed him the most. I'm also confident literal demons are in the White House as we speak. This cannot go on one more minute. We're in a terrible place as a people, a hole we sadly dug ourselves. People of conscience can disagree then on what is the best way to put down the shovel. As for me, I still think, and it's just my opinion, despite all my current criticism, the most righteous outcome is that Trump wins, because the caliber of people likely in power to make most of the decisions are way superior to what is empowered now, if nothing else. Which is another reason why I'm so mad at his selling out on the life issue. I'm going to finish this, just a couple of more sentences, in hour number two. We also have a special Musical Monday. Stay with us. Hour number two of the Vince Coakley radio program on this Monday. Still to come, we've got Musical Monday and also a Monday meditation. I think these will really be a blessing to you, both of them. I want to finish this piece from Steve Dace. This is a post on X over the weekend. Remember, she's talking about, hey, I made $400,000 last year. We're going to end up being house poor if we try to buy another house now. And he's talking about how just over Biden's term, the whole economic picture, it's a mess. It's not a country that is very friendly towards families. We're at a place now economically. I mean, I think back to the days of getting a starter home. It was relatively easy. Not so much now. So many people are priced out of the market. And when you made $400,000 last year and you're concerned about being house poor, something very wrong is going on with this country. Here's the last part of Steve's post. I still think, and it's just my own opinion, despite all my current criticism, the most righteous outcome is that Trump wins, because the caliber of people he will empower to make most of the decisions are way superior to what is empowered now, if nothing else, which is another reason why I'm so mad at his selling out on the life issue. He's pandering to a constituency that doesn't exist. And I fear he's losing the election right now by going down the same road the Mitt McCains went down before on this issue and then lost, by igniting their bloodlust base while stifling his own pro-life base by running from the issue. I fear he's playing right into our enemy's hands, just as he did when he handed the full power of his office to a Karen in a bedazzled scarf and midget demon to wreak havoc. Can you figure out who he's talking about here? Especially like midget demon. You're not supposed to use that word anyway, are you? Talk about being politically incorrect. Trump is making the conversation about abortion and not the matters itemized in the charts that I have below. That's just what our enemies want, precisely why their odds in the betting markets have soared as of late. Trump isn't playing 4D chess. He is walking face first into Little Bighorn, just as he did during COVID. Nor do I believe on the authority of his word that God will bless his people turning their backs on what he holds most sacred. This isn't about emotion for me, as it is for the Cheeto Jesus Saves and Orange Man Bad crowds. It's about pure math. It's not that I don't think Trump will win this way. It's that I think he cannot possibly do so. I'll stop here. That's as honest and transparent as I can be. Do with it what you will. Steve's made a great point here. And this is a really weird curve, isn't it? Some of you probably thought, oh boy, this is Vince's friend Steve is probably going to bash Trump and say he's not going to vote for him, yada, yada, yada. Didn't expect this, did you? Saying ultimately, it's probably best he wins. But then he also brings in the point. He's waffling. We don't need another John McCain or another Mitt Romney. But this is exactly what's been happening right in front of our eyes. I've said before, I'll say it again. Ultimately, he's the one who has to make the case for his own re-election. It's not going to be won or lost by any talk show host. It's not. It is time now to take us to a place that is more on the personal side. I mentioned over the weekend, we said goodbye to Janie Thompson, Bo Thompson's daughter. As I was praying for Bo and his family this weekend, I thought of a song that I really have been blessed by over the years. And I sent that song to Bo, and I thought I would share it with you as well. This is a song by Integrity Susanna Music with worship leader Kent Henry. And it's called Lead Me to the Rock. Listen up.
When my eyes are dimmed with tears, oh Father, make them clear. From the ends of all the earth, when my heart is fainting, let me know that you have heard. Lead me into safety. Higher than I. Lead me to the rock that's higher, higher than I. Lead me to the rock that's higher. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Lead me to the rock that's higher. Higher than I.
that song still affects me. I think like it did the very first time I heard it many years ago, way back in the 80s. Lead Me to the Rock, Integrity's Hosanna Music with Kent Henry. And like I mentioned, I sent this to Bo Thompson as he and his family deal with the loss of their daughter, Janie. This is just been, this song has been such a source of comfort, and I hope it was a blessing to you this morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You know, finding qualified job candidates, it's not very easy, is it? We can help out. The Charlotte Job and Recruitment Fair coming up May 30th. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Bojangles Coliseum. Don't miss this chance to fill positions to your company. The Job and Recruitment Fair, promoted to over 650,000 Charlotte listeners each week across all six of our Radio 1 Charlotte stations, and posted on our station social media accounts, websites, and digital streaming platforms. Make sure your business is represented in front of the many qualified and ready-to-work adults at the Job and Recruitment Fair. That's important. Adults. It's May 30th, 10 to 2, Bojangles Coliseum, East Independence Boulevard. Call 704-548-7888 to secure your booth today. 704-548-7888. Charlotte Job and Recruitment Fair brought to you by Blythe Construction and Radio 1. One of the things I love to do is to blow up narratives. The media loves narratives which are contrary, controversial, where there's conflict. They like, you know, it's one of the reasons why they like the whole racial theme. They love it because it gets eyeballs. People love conflict, no matter what people tell you. They love conflict. A lot has been said about rich people, how uncaring, selfish, they don't like paying their fair share, yada, 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 yada. There's a really good social media post from my friend Dave Perkins over the weekend that I really appreciated. So much so that I'm sharing it with you now. When the Titanic sank, millionaire John Jacob Astor IV was on board. The money in his bank account was enough to build 30 Titanics. Think about this. I mean, we're not talking about cars. We're talking about ships, Titanics. He could have built 30 of them with just the money in his bank account. Yet he chose what he believed was morally right and gave up his spot in a lifeboat to save two frightened children. Millionaire Isidore Strauss, co-owner of the largest American chain of department stores, Macy's, was also on the Titanic and said, "I will never enter a lifeboat before other men." His wife, Ida Strauss, also refused to board the lifeboat, giving her spot to her newly appointed maid, Ellen Bird. What? Maid? She decided to spend her last moments of life with her husband. I don't know why, but this, especially in the context of the music I shared with you earlier, this just really stirs my heart. Some rich and influential folks honestly and incorrectly believe themselves to be more important than ordinary people. But where you find the ones who know what they truly are, you find Western culture. Most importantly, you find God. Matthew 25:40, what you do for the least of these, you've done for me. Proverbs 14:31, whoever is kind to the needy honors God. This is Western culture. When you have morality and ethics written in the hearts of men, you need only the smallest of governments. Wow. those who press for ever larger and more powerful governments are those who would watch you die from their seat in the lifeboat, counting themselves fortunate to have been so important. Do you think Chuck Schumer, watching the deck tilt on board the Titanic, would have given up his seat on a lifeboat for children? Me neither. Like he said to the flight attendant who tried to get him to turn off his phone so a plane he was on could get off the ground, "Do you know who I am?" May the God who gave us Western culture protect it. We need him now more than ever. What's that scripture? Greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his friends. These stories, wow. They're pretty moving, aren't they? People willing to put themselves aside for somebody else. And yet we seem to elevate people who are preoccupied with themselves. And then we're surprised that they betray us over and over again. Why wouldn't they betray us? They've already shown us who they are. With their names all over everything they do. And very evidently, their priorities. It's been demonstrated time and time again. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, 36 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We told you last week about the effort to, let's just say, mitigate the impact of reauthorizing FISA. I made it very clear. I did not want to see that reauthorized. The ideal thing would have been for this not to be reauthorized at all. Conservatives, libertarians, like my good friend Thomas Massie, worked hard to try to get this legislation cleaned up to some extent with amendments. The amendment bombed out, by the way. But the legislation passed. And how it passed is just nauseating. But I first want to tell you about the kind of, let's just say, horror stories that the deep state loves to tell to scare politicians into doing their bidding. Axios ran this story last week. FBI chief warns of possible coordinated attack in U.S. akin to Russia concert hall massacre. We all know how ugly that was. What happened in Russia? Can you imagine if that happened here in the United States? But the FBI is growing increasingly concerned about this happening right here in the U.S. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not questioning their intelligence and the possibility this could happen. I would first say, one of the first things they need to do is talk to your, trying to control myself here. Talk to Mr. Magoo, your boss, as in the president, who continues to keep our borders open. Christopher Ray said, "As I look back over my career in law enforcement, I would be hard-pressed to think of a time where so many threats for public safety and national security were so elevated all at once." This was part of his testimony urging Congress to reauthorize Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. This is the case as I sit here today. He was testifying before the House Appropriations Committee. "Our most immediate concern has been individuals or small groups will draw twisted inspiration from the events of the Middle East to carry out attacks here at home. Now increasingly concerning is the potential for a coordinated attack here in the homeland, akin to the ISIS-K attack we saw at the Russian concert hall that killed more than 130 people. This just... This next line just... It really... It really does make me angry. This is what passes for journalism today from Axios. A group of right-wing hardliners block the measure after former President Trump's called for them to kill it and say they're seeking an amendment to protect privacy rights. Civil liberties groups, including ACLU, have expressed concern the FISA section Ray is calling to reauthorize would result in mass warrantless surveillance of Americans and foreigners' communications. What does right-wing hardliners have to do with anything? Whoever wrote this piece is a complete moron. You can have differences of opinion. Why is it necessary? Right-wing hardliner. So it's a hardliner is somebody who doesn't want our Constitution to be subverted? This person is a nitwit. The person who wrote this has no business in journalism. Go catch dogs. Be a dog catcher. But this kind of fear-mongering is what ultimately led to Congress failing us yet again. Breitbart has this story. Thomas Massie saying Speaker Johnson lit the Constitution on fire by casting the deciding vote for deep state spies. Massie saying Speaker Mike Johnson killed the Constitution by casting the tie-breaking vote against requiring warrants for searches of Americans' communications. Massie wrote, "This is how the Constitution dies, by a tie vote. The amendment to require a warrant to spy on Americans goes down in flames. This is a sad day for America. The Speaker doesn't always vote in the House, but he was the tiebreaker today. He voted against warrants." Now, sources familiar to Axios say the Speaker was not the tie-breaking vote against warrant requirements. His vote against warrants still served as a tie-breaking vote to sink the amendment. Massie spoke as the chamber tied on Representative Andy Biggs' amendment to require a warrant for searches of Americans through Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Section 702 is a law that is meant to target foreign adversaries. However, it often surveils Americans' communications without a warrant. Americans overwhelmingly approve of warrant requirements. A YouGov poll commissioned by FreedomWorks and Demand Progress found 76% of Americans found they back government agencies being required to obtain a warrant before searching Americans' communications. Johnson had once backed the USA Rights Act, a bill that contained even stronger warrant requirements than the one Biggs proposed. Representative Troy Nels of Texas, in a written statement saying, "Today is a dark day for America. It's no secret the DOJ and the FBI have used and abused FISA to spy not only..." This is nauseating. "Not only in the greatest president of my lifetime, Donald J. Trump, but spy on American, everyday Americans. I could not in good conscience vote to give our nation's weaponized DOJ the power to mass surveil the American people without significant reforms such as a warrant requirement." But it's all down the toilet now, folks. Just thought you want to know. And now we've moved on to other stuff, as we've basically been sold out by, you know, and you can say whatever you want about Speaker Johnson. This isn't just Speaker Johnson. Why does it come down to one vote in the first place? You have a whole conference of Republicans who are willing to support trash like this. This tells you what they think of you. Go back to what I read about the people of means on the Titanic and the choices they made, and contrast that to what you've just heard about these politicians.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Stretch, the Vince Coakley radio program on this Monday. Little intrigue stirred in the nation's capital, according to Reuters. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas was not on the bench today as the other eight justices heard arguments. No reason given for his absence. Clarence Thomas is the oldest and longest serving member of the court, part of the 6-3 conservative majority, appointed to the top U.S. judicial body in 1991 by Republican President George H.W. Bush. Chief Justice John Roberts noted the absence of Thomas at the beginning of the arguments in the first of two cases before the court today, but did not offer an explanation. Roberts said Thomas would participate fully in the cases by using the written legal briefs and the transcripts of the arguments. A court spokeswoman did not provide any additional information. The court often gives a reason for a justice's absence, like illness. By the way, one of the cases before the court today concerned a challenge to the scope of a federal anti-bribery law involving James Snyder, the former mayor of Portage, Indiana, who is appealing his conviction. Thomas previously missed arguments in March 2022 when he was hospitalized with flu-like symptoms and diagnosed with an infection. So we hope in this case there is no illness involved or any other crisis that would be a cause for concern. But obviously this gained the attention of this news agency. Nonetheless, we mentioned the start of the broadcast. Today is the beginning of jury selection for the first criminal case connected to Donald Trump. They expect that this jury selection process will take about 2 weeks. So stay tuned as we watch these proceedings play out in the coming days. All right, now, why not take a look at the day in history? We have a total of 8 items here. Tommy, how are you?
Doing well. Let's hit me with them.
Hit you with them. We go to 1865 first. This president died after getting shot by John Wilkes Booth.
That would be President Abraham Lincoln.
You are correct. This guy's first name is Harley, and he developed Ivory Soap.
Yes. Davidson?
Harley, that's pretty good. I'll give you a hint. He had a partnership, business partnership, with someone last named Gamble. That is
Proctor?
Your big hint. Yes, Harley Proctor was his name, developing Ivory Soap in 1878. 1910... This is a tradition that is very common now to get a president to start off a particular sport. And 1910, William Howard Taft became the first president to do this. What did he do?
Did he throw out a first pitch at a baseball game?
Yes, he did. It was William Howard Taft.
Any footage of that? I want to see how see his arm.
You know, I wonder if there is. When did video start anyway? I need to look that up and see what year, as primitive as it might have been at that time. I'd be kind of curious to see. 1912, we mentioned this particular vessel earlier in the broadcast. It sank at 2:20 a.m. after striking an iceberg the night before.
The Titanic.
1923, this drug became available for people with diabetes.
Insulin?
Insulin is correct. 1945, this former president buried on the grounds of his Hyde Park, New York home. Spent more time in the White House than anybody
FDR?
Else.
FDR?
FDR is correct. 1955, the first franchised version of this restaurant, which is everywhere, opened in Illinois.
Is that McDonald's?
McDonald's, obviously. Yep. And in 1969, to these two women tied for Best Actress Oscar. Who were these two women?
No clue.
I'll let you guess. Guess just one of them. Just think of high-profile women in actresses.
Meryl Streep, Pete says.
Okay. I got to go back further. How about Katharine Hepburn and Barbara Streisand?
I do know who those people
See,
are.
See, I knew you knew that.
I would never have guessed them, but I have heard the names.
I would have thought you would have guessed Barbara Streisand, that would have been the easiest one to come up with. But nonetheless, pretty good job on this list overall. Talk about weird things for a declaration. 19 feral cats have been running around Mexico's National Palace. And would you believe that they've gone through the extraordinary step of, with a declaration, they've now formalized care for these 19 cats. Is that weird or what?
Hey, but, you know, they got to live somewhere, right? Might as well take care of them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, house cats are one thing, but feral cats, well, I'm not going to touch them. And again, I'm not going to Mexico City anytime in the near future that I'm aware of anyway. That's all the time we have for the broadcast. Have yourself a great day and God bless you. Adios.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.